Welcome back to the Live, Learn, and Play podcast. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Arun Modi, and he is with our hematology program here at Arkansas Children's. And today, we are going to be talking about bone marrow transplants and how we are helping children and families here at Arkansas Children's. And Dr. Modi is going to talk about the program, how he's developing it, and really also about the actual procedure of bone marrow transplant. So I always say I'm not on the clinical side, so I'm looking forward to learning from Dr. Modi and how we are helping children and families. So welcome to the podcast.
Well, nice to be here.
So before we dive in and actually talk about the program, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to Arkansas Children's.
I'm a pediatrician and I have training in hematology oncology. For that, it means that I take care of children with blood disorders and cancers. And blood cancers are the majority of cancers in children. And I have a special training in bone marrow transplant and the procedure of cellular-based therapies. I have been doing that kind of procedures in Iowa. And I looked at opportunities to develop a new program, and Arkansas Children was a nicely situated institution that was looking for somebody with my kind of skills and expertise to start a new program here, especially focusing on allogeneic stem cell transplant or bone marrow transplant when it's done with a donor who's not a patient himself, and develop a new cell-based therapies program here.
Good. And we're definitely going to talk about the cellular therapy later on in our interview, in our time together. Let's first talk about what exactly is a bone marrow transplant, and is it the same as a stem cell transplant?
Yes. So bone marrow transplant and stem cell transplant are exactly the same. The different terminology or different name are given based on where you harvest the cells. And when we talk about cells, we are talking about hematopoietic stem cells. And what that means is the cells that form your blood. So we have these unique cells that can create new cells all your lifetime. And those new cells form ultimately your blood and your immune system. And those cells are known as stem cells, but not stem cells in general, like when we talk about stem cell research. These stem cells are called hematopoietic stem cells. Basically, what it means in plain English is these are the stem cells that make blood. And there are two ways of harvesting them from the donor. If we harvest those cells from blood, and some of these cells circulate in our blood all the time, so you can use special machines and technique to isolate them and harvest them and put and save them for a transplant. And those cells are referred to as stem cells or blood stem cells. And when we harvest them by using a bone marrow, which is a space in your inside of your bones, and usually that requires a operative procedure where we have a patient sedated and we use needles to harvest bone marrow. We usually use hip bones because those bones are flat and have the largest amount of stem cell reserve in them. So it's easier to get those cells and easier to put needles into hip bones. So those cells are coming from bone marrow, so that's called bone marrow cells. But the purpose and indications of both procedures are exactly the same. So during this discussion, I'll be using them interchangeably because they basically mean the same thing.
Okay, so that's good to know. Bone marrow transplant is the same thing as stem cell transplant. What condition or diagnosis benefit from a bone marrow transplant?
If you think about a stem cell as like a factory that produces blood, so any disorders in the blood or your immune system, which is also produced by your hematopoietic stem cells, can be cured with stem cell transplant. So I'll give you two examples of sort of extreme conditions. One of the simplest conditions that comes from your immune system is allergies. So if somebody is allergic to pollen, and gets a bone marrow transplant from a donor who's not allergic to pollen, the patient will not be allergic to pollen anymore after transplant. However, we will not do bone marrow transplant to cure somebody's pollen allergies.
Right.
But it can be cured. It can be changed. And other extreme of an immune system disorder is something called severe combined immune deficiency, where babies are born without any kind of immune system. So they are vulnerable to any and all infections. It is such a severe disorder that in Arkansas and all 50 states have newborn screening program to identify these babies very early on before they get sick with anything. And treatment for that is also bone marrow transplant. When we talk about blood disorders, similar blood disorders that kids are born with is like sickle cell disease, which is very common in African American population. And sickle cell disease is a condition where your blood cells are formed, but they're abnormal, especially under stress. And when we do bone marrow transplant, we can cure sickle cell disease permanently with somebody's bone marrow who doesn't have sickle cell disease, can be transplanted into a patient with sickle cell disease. Another blood disorder, which is the most common reason why people hear about or get bone marrow transplant, is blood cancer or leukemia. In that case, we eliminate all of the leukemia cells and do the bone marrow transplant with healthy bone marrow and healthy cells.
Well, this will lead us to our next question. Where exactly do stem cells come from? And let's talk about the auto versus allo.
Auto is the short for autologous stem cells. And those are patients' own stem cells versus allogeneic, which is a different person and not the patient self. The autologous stem cell transplant is utilized mainly for patients who have cancers other than blood cancers. And typically the way it works is these cancers are responsive to regular doses of chemotherapy, but do not completely go away. So there's some microscopic disease that still remains. And we know that if we are able to give much higher doses of chemotherapy, we are able to get rid of these cancer cells and cure the patient and give them better outcomes. One of the main side effects of higher doses of chemotherapy is that it can completely eliminate your existing bone marrow cells, and that would lead to no more blood forming cells, which in turn leads to fatal consequences. So the idea of autologous stem cell transplant is to harvest these stem cells from patients' blood while they are receiving chemotherapy at regular doses and freeze them for later use. And then when patient is ready, we give them much higher doses of chemotherapy and rescue them with these preserved stem cells their patients own. The advantage of this method is that we're able to deliver higher doses of chemotherapy at the same time. We don't have to worry about interaction between a different person's immune system to patient's body. This technique is utilized, and we have been performing this type of transplant at Arkansas Children's for a few years now.
And we are going to talk about, if someone's interested in donating bone marrow, a little later on, as how people can get involved and actually donate. So I think it is important to know the difference between the auto and allo for sure. Let's talk about how many children in the U.S. right now are in need of bone marrow transplants.
So bone marrow transplant numbers vary depending on what kind of diseases are considered acceptable for bone marrow transplant. For example, many years ago, people did not do bone marrow transplant for children who had thalassemia or sickle cell disease, those kind of disorders where patient can have a reasonably well life, but much shorter lifespan than general population. And at that time, transplant procedure was much risky. We did not have very good supportive care and have many medications to help treat and prevent infections. Now it is becoming more and more common for these patients to go through transplant to achieve cure. So the number of patients who need transplant is increasing. However, at the same time, some of the cancers are much better treated now with regular chemotherapy and newer treatments, mm-hmm. so those indications are going down. But on an average, we will assume that about 2,400 to 3,000 patients in the United States will require stem cell transplants in a year.
Okay. And then what type of stem cell transplants are being done currently at Arkansas Children's?
So currently in Arkansas Children's, we have an established program for autologous stem cell transplant. And we are in a process of setting up systems to do allogeneic stem cell transplant. And we are hopeful that we'll be able to start doing that as early as July of 2021.
And you mentioned a little earlier the process, but let's talk about how you actually give bone marrow or stem cells to a child.
So doing bone marrow transplant to a recipient or the patient is actually very anticlimactic. So when you look at the bone marrow, it looks just like blood. Actually, a regular person will not be able to tell the difference between blood, a bag with blood in it, or a bag with bone marrow cells in it. And the way to give it is to give it just like a blood transfusion. We hang it into a patient's IV line, and the cells go into the blood, circulates through the body, and find out where they need to go and what they need to do. And it just like a magic, it works.
Okay, so it's not very invasive at all then?
No. Unlike what people will think about as a transplant to have a surgery or maybe drilling in the bones or some kind of procedure. No, it's very simple. Patients are in their regular hospital bed and we just do it like a blood transfusion. There's no special preparation involved for it.
Are there any side effects that happen after the transplant?
So the main side effect during the bone marrow transplant procedure is that a patient can get some extra fluids and we may have to make them pee a little bit extra fluid out. That's the main side effect. Sometimes they can have an allergic reaction if they're allergic to something in a donor's blood. That's extremely rare for patients to have that, but we always give medications to prevent that as well.
And you, I know you joined Arkansas Children's in February of this year, 2021. You were brought here to grow our program into a comprehensive blood and marrow transplant and grow our cellular therapy, CT program, that will help with both types of transplants. So what has the process been like for you to start this program here at Arkansas Children's?
The hospital leadership and the respective leaders in different subspecialties, they were very committed and engaged in developing the program. So since I have arrived here, I have been working with them to develop standard operating procedures to make sure that we are able to provide the safest and most up-to-date care for patients who are receiving stem cell transplant or allogeneic bone marrow transplant. And also the family member for patients who will be donating their bone marrow if they are a match. And we have to make sure that their health is taken care of and they get the best possible treatment. The second portion of the program, which is called cell-based therapies, and this is the most advanced treatment option in cancer and some of the genetic disorders. For cancer, the cell-based therapy, the most common and available stem cell cell-based therapy is called CAR T-cells. Now, the CAR in CAR T-cells stands for chimeric antigen receptor. What happens in that kind of treatment is a child who has a particular type of leukemia or blood cancer, we harvest their immune system cells, so T-cells, not the entire stem cell, and we send it to a laboratory and they prime those cells and genetically modify them to attack and kill cancer cells within patient's body. And we bring those cells back and give it to the patient. And those cells work in about 2 out of 3 times to kill the cancer cells completely and have them never come back. And this is a remarkable advancement because it eliminates the need for high doses of chemotherapy, stem cell transplant, its complications for the future, and provides a medicine that will last the patient forever. It's a live medicine, and it's engineered from patient's own cells. So that would be something that we can immediately start doing in cell-based therapy. And other cell-based therapies are some of these immune system cells can be primed to attack and kill viruses. And viruses that can, normal people will have viruses and they get rid of them. But if a child without immune system or a child who has to be on immunosuppressive medication because they had heart transplant or kidney transplant, we can use these cell-based therapies to kill those viruses and cure them and have them a chance for a much less toxic treatment and have a normal, healthy life.
Could you talk a little bit about who all is involved when there is a bone marrow transplant?
I'll kind of walk you through a journey for a child with who needs a bone marrow transplant. So when a child's primary physician recognizes that this child would benefit from bone marrow transplant, we get a referral and we first thing we do is we talk with our financial services and they talk with insurance companies to make sure that this is something that insurance company will approve. And then we recognize the patient. We start with patient's tissue typing, which is where we determine what kind of match and how we'll match this patient. And then we have one of our nurse coordinator who specializes in coordination of care for donors who reach out to the family members, immediate family members, to do tissue typing on them to figure out who in the family will be a match and who will be an ideal donor. If we find a match, that's great. If we don't find a match, then we look at registries. There are national and international registries and try to find a donor from that. For our cancer children, for example, we have a match. So we have a sibling who's a match. Then we identify a physician who's not me, who's not a patient doctor, who becomes a donor's doctor and evaluates a donor for the donor's health, ability to donate without more than minimal risk to the donor and make sure that the donor is not at risk of transmitting any infections or complications through their blood. So that process starts in parallel, which is mainly done by other physicians at the Children's and our donor coordinator. With the patient, we work with the patient to get a lot of different type of blood work and other evaluations to look for their heart function with the cardiologist, look at their lung functions with the lung expert or pulmonologist, look at their kidney function with the kidney doctors. And the psychosocial impact of something like this can be a lot. So we have our patients meet with our pain and palliative care team and social workers to kind of figure out how they're going to navigate during and after the stem cell transplant. During stem cell transplant procedure, the patient has to go through a lot of specialized tests, and some of those tests are not available. So we work with pathologists to figure out how to do this test here. If we cannot develop those tests in-house, then we make sure that we get it done through a recognized laboratory in the country, and we have that test and results available in an appropriate, timely manner. Patient and the family actually has to stay close to the transplant center for about 100 days after transplant. Mm. So we work with local charities and their insurance company to figure out where is a reasonable, safe accommodation for the patient. When the patient is receiving stem cell transplant, they have practically they have no immune system. So they get on very special precautions. So we work with our environmental services to make sure that patients' room have a very specific filtration system that eliminates all kinds of pathogens from the air. The air flow is maintained at a certain constant rate that it provides a positive pressure in the room. And it's a lamellar flow, so the air flows in only one direction. The patient's not exposed to any kind of infections. So currently what I'm doing is I'm meeting with all the people who are responsible for all this to make sure that we have all these things in place to perform our allogeneic stem cell transplants in a very near future.
Is it better to find a family member who can donate bone marrow?
It's definitely better to find a family member who can donate the bone marrow because they are more closely related and matched. Plus, we have an advantage of that donor being available in future if we need more cells or we have to go back to the donor for some other reason. But sometimes it's not an option because if a child needs stem cell transplant or bone marrow transplant for something that's inherited, then a donor who is a family member may be carrying the same mutation or defect in their genes. So we have to evaluate all these things along with the donor's doctor.
So let's talk about the registry, and if people are listening, how do they get involved with donating to the bone marrow registry?
So bone marrow registries are more like a social network type of thing. So the way it works that in the United States, the registry is online. So you can go to www.bethematch.com and that sounds like a matrimonial website or something like right. that. But it's a website where you can go and you can click on the link that says, I want to register as a donor. They ask you some basic questions about your health, your age, and things like that. And once you fill out that questionnaire, the registry will send you a kit at home to swab yourself for tissue typing. The kit includes a simple Q-tip, which will be used to swab inside of your cheeks. And you put it back in the container that comes with it and in the shipping envelope that goes back to the registry. The registry will run some simple test on your cheek swab and store that information. And that makes you a searchable donor. Now, today or 10 years or 15 years down the line, if somebody who needs a bone marrow and matches to you, at that time, the registry people will try to find out where you are currently, have you get another testing done to make sure that the information they have is correct and it's verified, and then they have the donor evaluated by the donor's doctors or donor center's doctors, where the doctors who specialize in bone marrow harvesting or peripheral blood stem cell harvesting are talk to the donor and kind of go over the procedure, talk about the risk benefits, and also check with patients donor's availability in the time frame that the patient needs. And once all of that is established and the donor doctor has decided that this would be minimal risk for the donor, then we get a signal of go ahead that this donor is ready, available for these dates, and we say the patient will be ready at that time and we coordinate and then go forward with it.
And can anyone become a bone marrow donor?
Yes, everybody can register as a bone marrow donor. When the opportunity arises at that time, there is a separate evaluation done to make sure that either bone marrow or peripheral blood harvesting procedures are safe for the donor. And if they are not, then the donor and the donor's doctor reserve the right to refuse donation.
Excellent. And to know that anybody can donate, it sounds like a very simple step, at least at first. And then if you are a match, there sounds like obviously some more steps involved. But the first part sounds very easy and anybody could do it. From their own computer, home computer. Let's talk about Arkansas Children's, the Children of Arkansas, how they're going to benefit from these types of transplants.
We think about 15 to 18 patients per year have to leave the state of Arkansas and get their treatment in one of the neighboring states. As we discussed earlier, that this is a very involved procedure. It may require family to relocate for 3 or 4 months to a different city where they do not have the normal support structure that they are used to. So this will definitely help our patients to stay local and receive the same care that is provided in other areas. It would be definitely beneficial to the patients and family, but also to the hospital, because the hospital is a teaching hospital and we train our residents to be great pediatricians. Having exposure to this kind of conditions and patients definitely gets the level of education better and more involved. One other aspect I think that it will bring to the children of Arkansas is this development of cellular therapy. Because cellular therapy options are still in development all over the world. So if we establish our program in a timely manner, which I'm hopeful that we'll be able to do, we should be able to bring all the new and emerging cellular therapy and gene therapies as they come in the next 5 to 10 years to the children of Arkansas.
That's amazing to hear, even looking ahead to the next 5 to 10 years. You mentioned the significance of the 100 days post-transplant. What happens in those 100 days that you're looking for, or what are the significance?
So the first 100 days after stem cell transplant, and this is mainly referring to the allogeneic stem cell transplant, where you get stem cells from a different donor than yourself. What happens in first 100 days is your immune system gets to start its building blocks together. And in a normal person, the immune system starts to develop at about second trimester of life. So about 3 months before a child is born, the immune system start to develop and start to learn about how to attack and kill viruses and eliminate unnecessary pathogens or invaders in your body, so to speak. And that is where we start when we do bone marrow transplants. So about first 3 months, we are taking care of a child who can be, you know, a year old to an 18 year or 20 years old, but the immune system is still not as good as a newborn baby. So that immune system puts them at very high risk of developing some unusual infections. And as you know, that if a pregnant woman gets an infection and that goes to the baby, it can have some devastating consequences. Similar things can happen if a child gets an infection immediate post-transplant period. So we have patients on multiple medications to prevent common infection, and we also check every week for some of the more serious infections to catch them way early before they become a problem and treat them. And for that, it is very important for patients to stay within 30 minutes driving distance from the children's hospital, especially the children's hospital that is equipped in tertiary care. So if a patient calls at 2 o'clock in the morning that they are having a fever, we cannot wait until clinic opens at 8:30 or 9 in the morning. We have to have those patients seen within 30 to 45 minutes at a local emergency room. So we coordinate with our emergency room, patient travels to emergency room, we get them treatment right away and then admit them in the hospital to make sure that things don't get out of control.
That makes sense, definitely. So to keep an eye on them those first 100 days and to know that families can stay close to home here in Arkansas and not have to leave the state for, like you said, 3 to 4 months is really important. Is it typical after one transplant? Is that usually it? Or is it, would a patient need to receive more than one transplant?
So for allogeneic stem cell transplant, one transplant is curative. Because when the transplant is successful, we are able to completely replace the immune system and the bone marrow in the patient. Sometimes we need to give some extra cells that we can derive from the donor. And depending on what kind of condition it is that we are trying to treat, we have different protocols for it. But it doesn't require a whole transplant, as in giving a lot of chemotherapy, radiation to prepare patient's body and give new cells. For autologous stem cell transplant. However, sometimes we need to do two or even three stem cell transplants back to back. And the usual idea for those kind of transplant is that we want to give high doses of chemotherapy multiple times to make sure that they reach into hard to reach places in your body. One of the most common hard to reach place in our body is brain. Our brains are naturally protected against any kind of toxins in our body by something called a blood-brain barrier. And when we give chemotherapy, chemotherapies are basically toxins. So your body naturally prevents those toxins to get into the brain. So when we're trying to treat brain tumors, it becomes very difficult for us to give that much effective chemotherapy. In those patients, we usually end up doing two or three stem cell transplants back to back with complete recovery in between to make sure that we get rid of all remaining cancer cells.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Modi, thank you for your time, for your expertise. Those were all the topics and questions I wanted to discuss today. Is there anything else, though, that we need to know about the bone marrow transplant and what we're doing here at Arkansas Children's?
I think it was a very nice discussion. I think we were able to cover a lot of topics, and we are certainly planning to expand our services in bone marrow transplant, cellular-based therapies. And as we have more therapies available, maybe we can come back and talk more about cell-based therapies and discuss about how they are making a whole host of difference in more personalizing cancer treatment in children.
Definitely. This field sounds like it is changing constantly. So we are so glad you are here. And I know patients and families are glad that you are bringing your expertise to help them here. And I think it's definitely something we want to revisit in the future to see how we are continuing to champion children. So thank you again for your time and for helping families.